Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
This is Racing Across America, and I am Seth Merrow. So thanks for joining us. Really appreciate it on this Saturday morning. Again, just to tee you up, talked about it a moment ago, but Joe Christofek will join us in a couple of minutes. Paddock commentator from Churchill Downs, and we'll wrapping up the meet, so we'll do a little meet recap, but we'll also talk some of the stakes action today. Really, really good stakes action today. Mandatory payouts and whatnot, so we'll hit on that with Joe a little bit later on. Our friend Ella Starr, the national racing analyst from Equibase, will kick onto some of the stakes today. He'll look at some of the stakes action at Churchill as well and beyond. We're going to look at the Ohio Derby as well with Ellis and get some of his ideas there. It's a nice stakes day across the country today. As I say, Ohio Derby and the stakes at Churchill, and there's a couple of nice stakes in New York and whatnot. So it's a fun day, and we'll talk about much of it. Speaking of fun days, do want to thank everybody who came to the Racebook yesterday and participated in the bankroll team. It's always fun when things work out right, and it is extra fun when there's some photos that go your way. So it was just it really was a fun day. And I was playing with the bankroll, and early I was probably $100 into the bankroll and just hadn't gotten a thing. And at that point, you're kind of like, let's get something started here. Then we hit a couple of things and had some fun. And as the day progressed, really had some hits that turned out well. So we wound up with $944 and change in the bankroll. So everybody on the team walked away with a little under $50 free money, courtesy of Capital OTB. Another fun bankroll. Last couple of months, the bankrolls, for the most part, have been doing very well, and everybody's walked away with some free cash. And yesterday, again, was a lot of fun. I mentioned it earlier, Bango in the stakes yesterday got us continuing with a little price in the pick four, but did it by that much. That last race, Exacta, that we hit at Belmont, we just had boxed up the two horses, and about 100 yards from the wire, I was like, yeah, this isn't going to work. And then the horse that completed the Exacta came up for us and just got there, and there were a couple other nail biters like that as well. Mike Callahan, our colleague here on the network and then the marketing department, was in working the front side for the bankroll team, but he was in watching some of the races for me, and he marveled at one point, man, you're getting all the photos today. And it was one of those days where it was just all falling right, but it was great, and it was fun for the bankroll team, as they say, everybody walking away with just under $50. So again, thanks to folks who showed up here, because it's always fun, the more the merrier here at the Clubhouse Racebook. Speaking of which, Clubhouse Racebook today, we have a knockout challenge. You can come down and try to get some free money there. And tomorrow there's a match bet promotion here at the Clubhouse Racebook, 7-Eleven Central Avenue in Albany. Do want to remind you there's a mandatory payout on the Rainbow Six as well today at Gulfstream. They have $464,000 in the pool. They're thinking it'll get up to maybe $2.5 million. So if you're interested in that, mandatory rainbow today at Gulfstream as well. But we'll talk some mandatories also with our friend Joe Christofek. We'll take a quick break. We will come back and be joined by Joe to talk some Churchill as they get ready to wrap up the meet and do it in style on Stephen Foster Day. All of that right after this. Stay tuned.
Where's the best place to find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 7-Eleven Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you where's the best sports bar in the capital region, tell them Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the Clubhouse Racebook, 7-Eleven Central Avenue, Albany.
The Capital Region has some of the most sophisticated horse racing fans in the country. That's why Capital OTB built the Clubhouse Racebook. Here you can wager year-round on the best horse racing from around the world. The Clubhouse also has monthly promotions including live bankrolls, handicapping contests, and so much more. Like sports? Watch your favorite teams on more than 30 screens in Legends Field Sports Grill. Food, sports, and the excitement of championship horse racing only at the Clubhouse Racebook, 7-Eleven Central Avenue, Albany.
Capital OTB is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTB TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTB live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTB TV. OTB TV on Roku. Try it now.
Welcome back to Racing Across America on this Saturday morning. As noted before the break, it is Stephen Foster Day, a big day as they wrap up the meet at Churchill Downs. And I thought no one better to talk to about the meet and the day than Joe Kristofek, the paddock commentator. Joe, good morning.
Good morning. It's a beautiful day. It's going to be a little bit on the warm side, but we got a nice breeze coming through here, and fast and firm. Rails are down on the Matlin course, just the way we like it, and we're going to go out with a bang here, Seth.
I couldn't agree more. I think the card is fabulous. We'll get into some of that in a few, and I wanted to do a little meet recap with you as well. But normally I would save this for the end of the interview, but it was too good. So I'm going to pull it right up, and I called for the replay, and I texted you a couple of days ago after Busy Echo won a couple of days ago at Churchill for Brilliant Racing and Partners. Greg Foley trains Brilliant Racing. When we have you on, we talk about the partnership because you head up the partnership, and I know some of the horses have local folks involved, but we'll watch the stretch run here from a couple days ago. It'll be number four, Busy Echo, getting it done, chart margin 2.5, and I texted you after the race. She won like a champ.
Yeah, she got some class relief. The races she had been running in at Fairgrounds and Churchill were really tough, and we dropped her in for 50, and we never gave up on her, and she had a couple tough trips in a row in those tough races, and we knew she had a lot better speed than she had been showing, and Tyler Gaffleone kind of nudged her out of the gate a little bit, and she went really fast from start to finish and was never really menaced, and it was a long way back to the horse that ran third. I think she got an 85 grip speed figure and a 74 buyer, you know, as a mid-season three-year-old filly that's pointed in the right direction. We don't want to get too ambitious, but it's also difficult not to get excited.
Yeah, that was a really nice win. And it was for trainer Greg Foley. You got a trainer who's on a little bit of a roll as well. I also wanted to mention I had a bankroll promotion in here yesterday, and I had to sweat out the photo, but I went with Bango again. I had Greg Foley on the day Bango won the Aristides, and I had handicapped before the interview, but I came on in the afternoon, and I said to people, he's confident. Put Bango in your mix. Wins the Aristides. And it was kind of the same yesterday. I wasn't sure about the distance for Bango yesterday, but I said the way the horse won last time and the confidence Greg Foley showed, put Bango in. And again, yesterday, our bankroll promotion had helped our team at a little bit of a price, winning by half a nostril. But Greg Foley having a pretty good meet and training some of the Brilliant horses as well.
Yeah, 3-1 day for Greg yesterday. And started with a maiden win and then major fed in his four-year-old debut. I know the butterflies are going for the entire family. Was very special to them, having been their first Kentucky Derby starter last year, and then to come back with Obesos this year. You know, and then Bango, 6-1, a horse at 6-9 at Churchill. And, you know, just you could put that one on Tyler Gaffleone's resume tape, because he just always seems to have the horses in the right spot, man, and I think Bango is a perfect example of that, and he needed a perfect ride to win in that tight photo with the horse charging after him in the final 16th of a mile there. So great ride by Tyler. He's really teamed up with Greg, including, you know, riding a Busy Echo for us to win quite a few races the last few weeks. He won a stake here earlier with Wisconsin a couple weeks ago for the Foleys as well. So great finish to the meet for Greg and the entire family. And obviously Tyler Gaffney owned Gates of Wire in the jockey standings.
Yeah, he leads. I pulled up the stats last night. He leads Ricardo Santana by 17 wins, 47-30. Tyler Gaffney, another really good meet. Florent Giroux sits in the third spot. James Graham had a pretty good meet, sitting down in the fifth spot for the number of wins. Over on the trainer side, this was tight right down to the end. Brad Cox has a 2-win lead over Steve Asmussen and Brendan Walsh and Mike Maker as well. Tommy Amos, who's had a great meet, sits down in the fifth position with 15, but as I say, 19. Brad Cox a couple ahead on the trainer's side. So it's been a nice trainer's battle at the meet as well.
Yeah, I mean, Brad's loaded today. Steve's loaded today, too. Steve, you know, got off to a slow start at the meet, but, you know, he swooped last year during the spring meet. We knew, you know, the winning ways were only a, you know, day or two away. It was just a matter of when they were going to start, and they started about 3 weeks ago here, and he's been on a roll ever since. Brad's going to be tough to catch up. Brendan's only got a couple in today, but one of those is Maxfield, so he should be able to make up one in the Stephen Foster. And then Mike Maker having his typical consistent meet after having a really good November here last year. So there's been a lot of parity on the trainer side. In addition to the four we talked about, it's just been a great meet from start to finish.
Yeah, no question about it. And it's been a really good meet. And I'll ask your opinion. I've said it sitting in here doing the afternoon show and looking at the stakes races week in and week out. I think it's going to play well to those of us up here at Saratoga, because I think a lot of the folks, a lot of the horses and the human connections we saw win stakes down there this spring, we'll see up at Saratoga. And I will ask you, because I haven't seen it confirmed, but again, when I had Greg Foley on a couple of weeks back, he was pointing Sconson to the Ballerina. Now, we had the second place finish, but I thought it was a good second place finish. And I'm assuming Sconson probably we can expect to see her up at Saratoga to try the shot at the Grade One.
Yeah, no question about it. I think more so than ever, we've seen it the last couple of years. And I remember, you know, 3 or 4 years ago, Seth, when you saw a Churchill horse go into Saratoga, you're like, you know, they didn't win at a high percentage. You know, the New York based horses seem to dominate a little bit, but I think that's changed a little bit in recent years. And I think you can get a good price on some of these Churchill horses coming into Saratoga as well. And like you said, a lot of them are going to feed right into the stakes program there. You know, everybody's getting kicked out here.
Yeah.
Trainers got to go. You're going to see a bigger influx of Kentucky horsemen at Saratoga. You're going to see some at Del Mar. You're going to see, obviously, a lot at Ellis and Indiana Grand and even Colonial, because the backstretch has got to be vacated so they can work on the turf course here. So people got to go somewhere, and I think you're going to see a much bigger influx of Kentucky horses at Saratoga and horses that really fit your races than ever before.
Yeah, I know Brad Cox has said he's going to send an extra contingent up, and as I say, I think a lot of the stakes performers that we saw down there this spring will be players there. Let's talk a little bit about this afternoon before we talk specific races, just kind of set us up, mandatories on all the races that demand them, correct?
Excuse me, I didn't get that.
There's going to be the mandatory pays on all those races that would have that type of situation, right?
Yeah, mandatory payoff, and we got over 160,000 stuff in the Derby City 6. And, you know, I think it has the potential to be a little bit chalky. I mean, you got Maxfield in there. You got a couple of other horses that maybe you can lean on. Don't forget, you know, you don't have to hit this thing for 20 cents. You could play this thing for 40 cents, 60 cents, and build a couple different tickets. Try to hit it more than once. You know, there's free money in the carryover. They're going to bet over $1 million into it today, so definitely want to make sure that you remember to maybe try to hit it a few times if you got some horses to lean on.
Yeah, you guys put out the payout on your broadcast every day, and our colleague Brian Nadeau is always commenting that the Derby City 6, if you're playing the jackpots, it's the one you want to look at because of the way it's formulated and whatnot, and the payouts you put out every day kind of demonstrate that. So folks may want to take a look at that today. Let's jump in. Let's take a look at the action. Let's kick right up with the highlight, the Stephen Foster. I pulled up the Ali Sheba from April 30th, where I thought Maxfield acquitted himself nicely, rebounding from a little bit of a disappointing effort in the Santa Anita handicap. Triple-digit buyer win. I just thought it was solid, and because of that, I couldn't get past Maxfield. But I thought Sproul was maybe a little bit interesting. I think Silver Dust is a little bit interesting. What are your thoughts on the Foster this afternoon?
There's a lot of horses that are really good grade three horses in this race, and then there's Maxfield, who's one of the best older horses in the country. Seth, and the thing about Maxfield is, you know, he's 6-for-7, and he started out with a bang as a two-year-old. He ran in the Matt Wynn as his only, you know, start in 2020, besides the race at the end of the year at the Fairgrounds in the Tenacious, and people keep trying to beat him, and people keep saying, well, who is he beating? He hasn't beaten much. Well, he's beaten the horses that have faced them, and I don't think he was ever better than he was in the Ali Seba. Only loss came at 1.25 at Santa Anita. Didn't have the greatest of trips. He was hung wide in that race, and I thought he still ran well, all things considered. I think 1.8 is right in his wheelhouse, and looking at the rest of the horses, I hope people try to beat him because, you know, I normally try to beat the favorite myself, but this one looks like an easy single to me.
Yeah, I agree. Just off of that last race over the Churchill Strip, he looks very tough. Another horse that's going to be fun to watch on the card and sits at the top of her division now is Latruska. She's going to show up in the Fleur-de-Lis, coming back 3 weeks after the big win in the Ogden Phipps. I'm going to pull up that stretch replay. Latruska's going to be the number three horse here. Easy to pick out as she runs away from this field. And as I say, stamps herself as the leader of the Philly and Mayer division. Comes back in 3 weeks, vies for the $300,000 grade two Fleur-de-Lis. You know, En Voutant, I think, is intriguing as well, coming out of a stakes victory. Spice is nice. On the handicapping show earlier, I said this may be a runner for Todd Pletcher that's waiting to announce herself. I think she has to step it up, but I think Spice is nice is interesting, but it seems like it all goes through Latruska. Your thoughts on the Fleur-de-Lis?
Yeah, Spice is nice has to run faster, and I think that's the bottom line with her. Latruska, man, she's coming back on 3 weeks. Like, I'm not willing to oppose Maxfield, but I am willing to maybe oppose Latruska. And okay, I know, you know, she beat Bonnie South and she bears a double really easily, Seth, and she beat Monomoy Girl and Swiss Skydiver, you know, and she's 14-for-19 lifetime, and Fausto does a great job with her. But En Voutant is getting to run out of her own stall. She's got more rest. She won the Shawnee really easily. She got a little bit bored in the stretch and kind of drifted under a Brian Hernandez hand ride. But she's 3-for-4 at Churchill with a second, and you know she's going to be forwardly placed. Could be a great battle down to the wire. I think it's going to be one of those two. A point of honor is interesting because I think the pace will be honest enough. I just think she probably needs the race.
Yeah, I think, again, another great stake on the card, however. And finally, finally, literally as well, it's the last race on the card, the 12th today. It'll go off at about 6:30. It's the Teppan for three-year-old fillies on the grass. And before we came on the air, you said you had an opinion in here. I'm taking a shot. I'm curious to know if your opinion. I'm taking a shot with Navratilova, 12-1 on the morning line, who I think is primed and moving in the right direction. If your shot isn't Navratilova, maybe I'll have an exacta box to think about. But who do you see in the Teppan?
Man, you stole my thunder there, Seth. I love that.
Nice. I like that.
I'm curious if, you know, that 12-1 morning line is going to hold off because this doesn't seem to be an overly strong field. It's a deep field. There's a lot of different ways you can go. You know, if we got 5 or 6-1, I'd be happy with that. But if you look at the progression for her, she broke her maiden at Ellis. You know, she did it from off the pace sprinting. And then Rusty Arnold put her in the Jessamine, and she ran 6 on Pearl. And it was a little bit of a disappointing effort. He regroups. He sprints her twice. But if you look at the pedigree, she's supposed to be a two-turn horse. She's by Medaglia d'Oro out of the multiple stakes-winning Center Court. She's by Smart Strike. So the timing is right for her to stretch out. The workout reports look good on her. She needs to get a trip, obviously, here. And if she's going to be a two-turn horse moving forward, she's supposed to run well in this race, if not win it.
I'm with you here in that I like the scenario. I like the progression. I like the stretch out today. And I like that you're validating my pick. The one thing I don't like when that happens, will we get our 12-1? But like you, I'm thinking if I can get 5, 6, 7-1, I'll still be happy.
Well, and you know what? And people, Seth, always complain about bad morning lines. These horse players complain about it. But, man, you should embrace a bad morning line, you know, for the multi-race purposes and such. people sometimes don't even look at 12 to
right.
ones in the morning line, and that's where you could take advantage. You're not going to take advantage in the win pool, obviously, but you could take advantage in these, you know, the Derby City Six, the pick five with a 15% take, you know, even the pick fours and the pick threes. Take advantage of it, that this horse is not going to be 12 to 1, but that's what good horse players do, is they take advantage of situations.
Yeah, I'm looking forward now to see what we do get for Navratilova, but I'm with you, as I say. I like you. You give me a little confidence boost that you're there, too. And you give me a confidence boost every day when I watch you down in the paddock doing the pregame and the paddock commentary. And you can pass it on to your colleagues. I've told you before, I sit in here in the afternoon, do the OTB Live show where we're cycling around three or four tracks every day. And you're paddock show, your pregame show and the paddock commentary, you guys do a great job. And I've said this to you before, and you can pass it on to your colleagues, because you cycle in the four guys or five guys that you've got, and it's like you're all knowledgeable about horse racing, you all love the game, and it's like you're sitting with four guys at the track that you like having a horse racing conversation about, but better yet, they have great opinions. And the stats you guys throw out are kind of innovative, and the market mover, I like that. So, again, I'll toss it out to you and tell you to tell your colleagues. I really appreciate your work down there. But given the work, and this goes back this year to Fairgrounds where you were down there with our colleague Brian Addo, it has been a long road into June. What's the summer hold for Joe Chris Effect?
And I appreciate those sentiments, Seth, and you know, Brandon Sauble does a great job. Ed DeRosa, obviously. James Scully. And Scott Shapiro's got a chance at a $2 ROI for the spring meet, which would be absolutely phenomenal. I think he needs to have a $40 day today, which is not out of reach. And he does a lot of homework and gives a lot of great information. And we keep taking steps forward. And there's some stuff that might be happening in the offseason where we can even, you know, take another couple steps forward from where we're at right now, and we're always looking to get better. So we appreciate that. After the races today, I'm actually going to drive home to Chicago, jump on a flight tomorrow from Midway to Dallas-Fort Worth, because we've got Yes It's Ginger for Brilliant Racing in the Chicken Fried Steaks tomorrow early evening. So, yeah, it's a whirlwind, but that's what it's all about. So we love racing. We love having, not only is our job successful, we love having fun with it when we're not working, which is, it's kind of rare, but we take advantage of those opportunities.
The chicken fried steak, I want to see the trophy. The trophy now. I was going to ask you that. That gives a hint, not only what do you have up this summer, but what's up for Brilliant Racing. Is there a possibility? I don't know where you spread out during the summer. A possibility we may see a Joe Christofek visit, but a Brilliant Racing visit at Saratoga.
I plan on making it to Saratoga. There's a chance we might have a horse run there. Love the opportunities that I have when I get to be there live. And obviously last year was kind of a wash, but we're getting back to normal. And that's the plan, to at least spend a long weekend there. I don't think I could survive any. I don't know how you guys do it all summer, quite honestly. But yeah, that's the plan, Seth. And we're going to open up Brilliant Racing 4. We're going to do yearlings this time around and try out a little something different. We've had a nice little run over the course of, you know, the entire partnership, but particularly over the last year, we're about 20% in the winner's circle since last July. So it's been a nice run. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, and as I said before, I know there's some locals involved. I know it's a lot of fun to be involved in those kind of partnerships, and people can check it out online, Brilliant Racing. Look it up, the partnership, and you can learn more about it. Joe, if you come up to Saratoga, we'll have you on our show, or Brian can have you on his show on the backstretch, but we'll be certain to get you back there to talk to you if you're in Saratoga. Hey, enjoy the last day. As I said, I've enjoyed you. Pass it on to the rest of the team, and good luck this afternoon.
Yeah, that sounds good, and maybe a cold one or two at Druthers as well. Looking very forward to the summer, and wishing you guys all the best as we close things down. Always a pleasure to be on with you, Seth.
Sounds good. Appreciate it. Joe Christofek, paddock commentator from Churchill Downs, as they wrap up their meet with a huge day today, highlighted by that Stephen Foster and Latruska and the Fleur-de-Lis as well. Got Ella. We had about five more minutes before our 10:40 break or 10:38 break, which makes it about three more minutes, but perfect timing because I did have some news to hit on. I hit on a little bit earlier, just a reminder, mandatory at Gulfstream today as well. Again, closing day at Churchill, there are mandatories and all those wagers, but mandatory at Churchill and again, or at Gulfstream. Again, the Rainbow has 464,000 in the pool. They're expecting about 2.5 million for the Gulfstream mandatory Rainbow today, so keep that in mind. Also, there was a note, and I'm not sure whether this press release had it, but they're going to have a Wednesday card coming up at Gulfstream as well, so keep that in mind as the week progresses. At Woodbine, I just wanted to, because I touted this yesterday, they had a carryover in their pick five yesterday, and at the 20-cent increment, I said, get in and have a little fun. Interesting sequence. To me, it came up maybe a little bit late. Again, it is a 20-cent increment, but I've said it before. For the 20 cents, people think, is the value there? In the pick bets, you know, pick four, if you can get a clever horse or two, you still get paid all right. And this, as I say, maybe was a little late, but again, for a 20-cent increment. And I say it's a little light because the sequence yesterday didn't have any favorites in there. But for 20 cents, the pick five yesterday paid 567. But it was a sequence that wasn't crazy. I mean, as I say, there was no favorites, but there was no horse over $10.60. First leg was $8. It was the second favorite. Second race was $7 and change, second favorite. The $10 horse was the fourth choice out of a field of eight. So, you know, maybe a search there, but it was a $10 horse, so certainly wasn't crazy. Then a couple of $9 horses wound it up, third favorite in the field of eight, and the finale was a $9 horse, the second choice. So again, you had 3 second choices, a third choice, and a fourth choice, and you weren't over $10. And for 20 cents, you could put together, you know, you have a $40 ticket. You've got a lot of coverage, and you walk away with $567. That's a fun afternoon, certainly. So, again, hopefully some folks maybe jumped in on that. And just remember, on a day-to-day basis, those picks at Woodbine are a lot of fun at the 20-cent increment. Had some other news to hit on also. Speaking of Woodbine, I mentioned it on the podcast, but I haven't mentioned it here on the network. They came out a couple of days ago, and congratulations and applause to our friends up at Woodbine. And we're rooting for them, but they have announced that starting July 1st, they will have fans on track. Limited attendance. It's going to be 25%. And again, they came out with this news a couple of days ago, so the protocols still have to be put in place as far as how it's all going to work and whatnot. But they'll get to 25% capacity on July 1st up at Woodbine, so that's good news for them. It was just great news that they got back racing a couple of weeks ago, but now to have some fans in attendance, extra good news for Woodbine. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, our friend Ellis Starr, the national racing analyst from Equibase, he will jump in and also take a look at some of the Churchill Stakes, as well as the Ohio Derby and more. All of that right after this. Stay with us.
Welcome to Albany County, an incredible destination to live, work, and play, with easy connections to more than a dozen cities from our vibrant modern airport. It's a short trip downtown to a hive of culture and amusement, from world-class shows at the newly renovated Times Union Center to reliving the past at the New York State Museum. From outdoor recreation to shopping to nightlife, Albany County has something for everyone. We'll see you soon.
It's a photo finish, it's too close to
sales reports on my desk by Monday.
Whoops. My bad.
Love racing? RTN brings you every live simulcast on your home television, plus live video streaming and race replays on your PC and mobile devices. To order, visit RTN.tv. RTN, a breed apart.
Welcome back. As promised before the break, joined now by our friend Ellis Starr, the national racing analyst for Equibase. Ellis, good morning.
Good morning, Seth. Good morning, everybody.
Happy to have you on board to talk a little Churchill and beyond. And I know texting with you over the past couple of months or so, you've made some Churchill visits over the past couple of months. And I'm just curious what your experience was over there. I'm always curious as we're in this kind of moving out of the pandemic period, fan-wise and whatnot. But just give me your thoughts. I just had Joe Kristofek on, and I said to him, this was a fun Churchill meet with a lot of great stakes action. And I think for those of us in our area, I think some of that stakes action is going to play out well up at Saratoga, including perhaps the results today as well down at Churchill.
Yeah, of course. And closing weekend this weekend, and it's going to certainly set a lot of horses up for just a few weeks when the meet starts. Churchill itself, I was there the weekend of the 4th to the 6th. I was there for the interesting double no contest day,
right,
which I've never seen in my life before. But it was good. Attendance was very strong, and the facilities looked great. And turf course, you know, getting to the end of the meet, a little bit beat up, but it was just excellent, excellent racing. And today's card is, I've only looked at a couple of them, but not only are there opportunities, but there's some big races. And also, you mentioned setting up. The two-year-old race is today, the Bashford Manor. So certainly horses to look at as we move into the big two-year-old stakes at Saratoga.
Yeah, no question about it. And Kentucky Racing moves to Ellis. I've never been to Ellis. Have you been to Ellis Park? And I'm curious, the Pea Patch. I'm just curious what kind of facility that is. I think the summertime racing at Ellis has gotten really good the past couple of seasons.
Well, it is. I've been there more than a few times, and it is good racing, hot as heck, but very nice. And it's come up. You know, it used to be kind of a sea track, a turfway type, and it's been better because they had purse supplements before they had gaming from the other partners in Kentucky, which helped them a lot. And now with their own gaming, doing very, very well. Not a lot of competition for alternative gaming, casino in Evansville. So it's been really helpful, and a lot of trainers coming out there now because, again, it's another prep. You're prepping for the Kentucky Downs meet on the turf course, which they keep in fantastic shape, and some prepping to ship out for Saratoga, Keeneland, the babies. You're going to see a lot of top trainers and jockeys out there.
Yeah, like I say, the past 2, 3, 4, 5 years maybe, that product seems to have upgraded. And, yeah, the two-year-olds out there are certainly worth watching, and they have been over the past couple of years. All right, let's get back to Churchill, and we'll start with the Foster and take a look at one of the other Churchill stakes and then move on to other venues in the country on this Saturday afternoon. But the Foster, I talked about it earlier, and I showed the replay of Maxfield in the Ali Sheba. I think it goes through Maxfield, but I know from looking at your Equibase column, and this is your featured race of the week at Equibase, folks can go there and read more. I know you have some interest in Silver Dust, so I pulled up the replay of his stakes victory at Keeneland back on April 10th. Number 5 will be Silver Dust here. I think he's interesting as well. I also thought Sprawl could be a little bit of a player in here. Your thoughts on this afternoon, Stephen Foster?
Yeah, real quick before I get into it, I forgot to say I'm doing a race of the day for Ellis Park's website.
I thought
it was exciting to do it last year. And so you can go to their website, and I'll be putting up a race of the day play every day. So you can take a look. It's free, and it's been a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun last summer. I'm doing it again. So in the Stephen Foster, the reason I took Silver Dust on top for our Equibase race the week was value. I mean, Maxfield's certainly the one to beat, but he's not going to be a win bet. He's 4-5 opening and just not worried about it. His last race, the Ali Sheba, was straight strong. It was a 115 Echo Bay speed trade. But then I looked back and I saw, you know, Silver Dust had a race that would be competitive, or actually a few, as a 5-year-old back in 2019 at Churchill. He ran the race of his life, actually, in the Lucas Classic, September 28, 2019, in grade 3. He battled the entire length of the stretch, lost by a neck to Mosito Rojo. But he got a 113 figure before that, 112, 114. I use that as perspective, Seth, as you know. It's not the end-all, any kind of speed figure you're looking at. The horse has to be able to run back to it. But he can, because his last race was that win in the Ben Ally. Also at a mile and an eighth. That was on a sloppy track. He's pretty resilient. You know, if you look back, and he was probably overmatched in the course in the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile. Last year's Ali Sheba third in the Foster last year. I mean, he's a top handicap division horse on his day. And at 6-1, I'm willing to take a shot with the win bet. Certainly the race does go through Max Field. I also like Visitants, the 9, definitely for Exotics, another horse that just has been really, really good since he moved to Bill Morey's barn. First, third, second, is best of those, in my opinion. Well, actually, he was second to Maxville, which is best in terms of the speed figure. But when he won the Kentucky Cup Classic at 9 furlongs, that was a pretty strong race as well. And he beat Set Piece, who's going to be, we'll talk about in a second, the favorite one race earlier in the Wise Dan, I believe.
And and it is one race earlier in the Wise Dan, and why don't we shift attention to that? The Wise Dan, mile and a 16th on the grass. And you mentioned Set Piece. I handicapped this race a little bit earlier on the handicapping show, and I just couldn't get past that win last time for Set Piece, so I put Set Piece on top. That said, I think Some Like It Hot Brown is very close. A New York bred, always like to root for the New York breds. He's also coming out of a stakes victory last time. So I had Set Piece on top, but very close was Some Like It Hot Brown. Ride a Comet is interesting to me. Field Pass. And I think at decent prices, I could point to two or three others that are playable. I think it's a fun race. What do you see in the Wise Dan?
Yeah, this is a great betting race, I think, because you can split the favorites. I mean, they're both good horses, but you can split them, and we could end up with a ridiculously low double from Set Piece to Max Field. This is one of my other blogs. People can go to my Twitter account, at UberCapper, and see where that is. And I'm going to split them with Super Soul and Hierarchy, both prices. Now, Super Soul posted an upset at Churchill on May 31st, 45-1. Two before that, he won a starter allowance at Keelum. So he looks cheap on paper, but then again, he likes to win. He's 6-19. That was his first turf race ever in his 19th career start, and he took to it like a duck takes to water. And he closed from 6th at the top of the stretch, 3 back to win, into a really pretty slow pace for Churchill, 111-4, 48 for the half. This is an interesting horse. For those who don't know, Jenny Reese just wrote a great story. Jenny Reese tweeted it out. Juan Cano took over for the late Angel Montano, who was just a really strong trainer on the Kentucky circuit, and he was his assistant for many years. He ran the barn for the last year as Connell was sick, and he's a good trainer. Bayrona gets off, Saez gets on. I don't have a problem with that, but 20-1 is what intrigues me, and that 111 figure does stack up, because when you look at Set Piece, his figure was a 109, his echo base figure. And so they're pretty close, and I can take 20-1. So that's a win bet, and I'm going to try and split Hierarchy as well. Also won at Churchill. He won June 4th. It was his first race since October, and he flew late from 5th to 3rd to 1st. Decent effort in an hour of 3X allowance race, and he's 15-1. So the play is going to be, for me, Super Soul and Hierarchy is win bets, and I'm going to box Set Piece and Super Soul and Hierarchy. I'm also going to play some small exactas with Super Soul and Hierarchy, boxing with Ride a Comet, something like it, Hot Brown, because again, you're trying to split the favorites here. Even though if they run 1-2, you lose. But that's not the way to play the race. And I think this is, if I'm right, even if either of these two run second, this is going to be a really nice race for making some money.
Yeah, I like it. As I said, it's a fun race. I agree with you. A nice betting race to where you can play around a little bit. I have the logicals on top, but like you, I'm going to play around a little bit with some exacta boxes, toss some prices in. All right, let's shift attention and take a look out. Ohio Way, Thistledown, the Ohio Derby this afternoon, Grade 3 event, $500,000 up for grabs. And I talked about this on our stakes preview, and this is a really nice addition of the Ohio Derby. And I think some years these are kind of like B-level performers or C-level performers. To me, this year it's like A-minus. And the potential with a nice win here and maybe a good summer to move up to A or A+. I think it's a fun addition. I went with King Fury, who I thought looked really good in the Lexington and then just had some setbacks and so couldn't make the Triple Crown races. But I thought Kenny McPeak showed a lot of confidence after that Lexington. So I went in that direction. But I thought Promise Keeper coming out of the Peter Pan was intriguing as well. Who do you see in the Ohio Derby?
Well, I wish Promise Keeper, I wanted Promise Keeper to run in the Belmont. I mean, I thought it was with a curl on the bottom and Tappet, a son of Constitution who's a son of Tappet. I thought he could be a great mile and a half. But Let's trade other choices. I think the 7-2 morning line is way off. I think he's going to get hammered here. I could see King Perry. The setbacks, of course, we all know. He would have been a contender in the Kentucky Derby, in my opinion. Ethical Judgment for Brendan Walsh has a look. The Reds, who's run two good races, he won the Tessio through DQ, but he would have won if not interfered with. And he ran pretty good to Sainthood in the Pennine Ridge, which was taken off the grass, both at 9 furlongs. I think the race is a two-horse race in terms of win contenders, and it's going to be Promise Keeper, but really the horse I like at the price is Masca Parade for Al Stahl Jr. Stretched him out in his third career start. He stretched out second time out, didn't run well, and ran third. And then he won via DQ at Fairgrounds on March 20th. That was a good race, but the next one at Churchill on May 1st was the breakout, Seth. I mean, he just powered off. He was in front by 4 at the 8th pole, drew off by 11, swept past the field, and was a 10-horse field, not light at all, and a decent horse for a Godolphin, a Shadow, I believe, and Ghazali. And that 108 Echo Bay speed figure is better than Promise Keeper's 104 in the Peter Pan, and they both came at 9 furlongs. So anywhere near this 8-1 morning line, even as low as probably 5-2, I'm betting Masca Parade pretty nicely to win here, and then box him Promise Keeper, and then play trifectas and exactas, Promise Keeper and Masca Parade over King Fury, Ethical Judgment, and the Reds, just for savers in case you split them. But Masca Parade's a really strong play for me. Again, it's one of the blogs I'm doing. People can go to Uber Capper via Twitter and see that. And I also am using Lady Jacqueline, which is the $250,000 filly race before that, in some doubles into the Ohio Derby.
Very good. And on the stakes preview that I taped with our colleague Mike Callahan, Mike also liked Masca Parade as well. All right, let's move on to some Belmont action. The Wild Applause, $100,000 for the three-year-old fillies going a mile on the grass. I couldn't get past the Chad Brown runner, Minowan, if I'm getting anywhere close to the pronunciation there. But Bye Bye, I thought, was a player. Navisian Sunrise, I kind of think, can step up, being the other Chad. And Runaway Rumor, if folks are looking for a price, I thought 2-2 and third career start on a series of races that are moving in the right direction. I could make the case going out there to the 9 as well. But what did you see in the Wild Applause?
What's interesting about this race is that there's four horses coming out of Winds at Belmont on the grass. And so you can compare them. I'll talk about Runaway Rumor first. He's my second pick. But when you look at Runaway Rumor, yeah, it was against New York Breds. But it was a strong effort, and it was just as good as horses at lower odds. Navisian Sunrise, it was actually a little bit faster, 89 versus 88. Actually a faster, bigger buyer, too. And he's 8-1 versus 4-5-1 for Navisian Sunrise. Minolin, 5-2, it was a 96. It was okay. It was a good race, and it's going to be Brown, so he's going to be overbet. And he got Bye Bye, who's 9-2, won the Soaring Softly, and Runaway Rumor ran faster. My top pick's going to be the one, Alda, on the rail. I like the fact that Pratt's in to ride. This is a pattern I just love for a young three-year-old, a filly. Came back November to April, 6th, 1st. This will be third off the layoff, sprint route. Quality filly. I mean, she got beat three-quarters of a length. It's a 5-2. Second choice in the Natalma last September to Lady Spatesphere, who's a really nice horse, after winning the Catch a Glimpse at Woodbine. I love the pattern, the rail, the speed figure, everything is good, grand motion, 6-1. I take it all day. Runaway Rumor and then Manon, so I'm going to box 192 in the exacta. Small win to that Runaway Rumor, but again, I'm going to make a pretty nice win bet, I think, on Alda here, Seth.
Sounds good. I like it. And another fun race on the stakes calendar this afternoon. Ellis, as always, we appreciate your thoughts and your comments. Wish you a lot of good luck this afternoon, and we'll talk again.
Thanks a lot, everybody, and certainly there's a lot of great stakes action to pick from around the country to make some money today.
Absolutely. Ellis Starr, National Racing Analyst from Equibase. And before I wind up here, just want to once again remind you of promos coming up today here at the Clubhouse Racebook. There's the $100 Knockout Challenge. Love to have you come down and take advantage of that. Also at the Clubhouse Racebook tomorrow, it is the Match Bet promotion, so keep that in mind. Both of those happening at 7-Eleven Central Avenue in Albany. Again, thanks to everybody who came down yesterday to put your name in the hat and potentially get selected to the bankroll team. And everybody who did get on the team, the 20 folks who played along, got, as I say, just under $50 to play with going forward. $50 of free money from Capital OTB. And don't forget, we'll continue with the bankrolls. And at Saratoga, we have some bankrolls coming up, too. Don't forget the syndicates. Syndicates are a lot of fun. Those will be continuing in up to and into Saratoga as well. They allow you to get in on a big pick ticket for a modest amount of money. So keep that in mind also as we move forward towards and into Saratoga. Really looking forward to it. But the promos and events are always a lot of fun. And, again, the bankrolls have been doing very well in the last couple of months, really, to give everybody some free cash to have some fun with. Had a couple other news stories to hit on. Hot Rod Charlie worked out yesterday out at Santa Anita, and they are considering the Haskell. Doug O'Neill said, it's not inked in, but that's our tentative thought. The Haskell coming up on July 17th at Monmouth. Hot Rod Charlie, of course, had that phenomenal second-place finish in the Belmont Stakes after a third in the Kentucky Derby. So just off of that Belmont win, I think everybody's looking forward to seeing what he can do next up. So Hot Rod Charlie worked without blinkers yesterday. He had been using blinkers in his last six starts, but after the workout yesterday, Doug O'Neill said, we'll huddle up on whether to run him without them. So that'll be interesting, too, whether they change up the equipment off of two pretty nice efforts most recently. Also, did want to note that we talked a little bit about it already, but there was a Blood Horse article that kind of commented on it. So I will again tip our cap to trainer Greg Foley, who won the Kelly Landing yesterday, the overnight stake at Churchill with Bango by that much. But it was a three-win day, so he's winding up the meet very nicely, Greg Foley. And again, hopefully we will get a chance to maybe have him sit in with us on one of the shows up at Saratoga, because hopefully he does continue up and continue aiming Wisconsin for the Grade 1 Ballerina. And if so, I certainly expect he'll be in town. And if so, we will certainly attempt to pull him over and have him live when we're there at the backstretch. Each and every racing morning, don't forget about that as well. Don't forget to mark that on your calendar. Throughout the meetup at Saratoga, once again, we will be at our Clare Court backstretch set every racing morning, Wednesday through Sundays, for a couple hours of live programming. And certainly there will be other special programming that will drop in as well while we're up at Saratoga. So don't forget, as I say, to mark that on your calendar and tune in every morning for the handicapper support, where both handicappers will go over the entire Saratoga card and hopefully hand out some good ideas. And then second hour, lots of great conversation as well with all the main players in New York racing and beyond. Like I said to Joe, a lot of times it is not unusual in a normal year, and I think this year is going to be pretty close to normal, but it's not unusual to have folks show up like Joe Kristofek, the Churchill guy. Saratoga is a little bit of a crossroads of American racing, so a lot of familiar faces from around the country show up, and it's fun to have them come over too. Typically Ron Nicoletti, his cousin, a breeder in town. So Ron comes up and spends some time with his cousin and spends a little time at the track as well, and we'll usually have him come over and sit in with us. As I say, last year was a little bit different, but hopefully this year we can get back to that. And again, you're invited every Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday to tune in for at least a couple hours in the morning. Steve Bick and I again on Sunday mornings with Loose on the Lead. That's always a lot of fun. So looking forward to the Saratoga season. And here at OTB, we have already, for the last couple of months really, been kind of gearing up for it and getting ready and getting all the ducks in a row, as it were. All right. I think I'm set. I think I'm done. I think Racing Across America on this Saturday morning is wrapping up. Again, the headphones, we had a little audio issue, so we switched things up as far as usually I just have a little earpiece in, but we had to switch things up with the headphones and the microphone and whatnot for this morning. But it all worked out. Got you some good information, hopefully, and we will be back in about an hour and a half or so for OTB Live on a Saturday afternoon. Again, going over that really nice afternoon of racing at various venues around the country. Once again, a reminder, closing day at Churchill with great stakes action, but closing day means mandatory pays in the pick bets at Churchill. Gulfstream, mandatory pay today in their Rainbow Six, 400-some thousand in the pool. They're expecting maybe $2.5 million. So at Gulfstream, mandatory in the Rainbow. Thistledown, they have the Ohio Derby today, so that's going to be fun as well. Nice stakes action at Belmont, as always. So we'll have all of it right here on the network, Capital OTB TV, on this Saturday afternoon. And as I say, I'll be back in about an hour and a half or so to kick off OTB Live for Saturday afternoon. We'll see you then.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.